Prepare yourself for a physical therapy conference that will deliver a PT education hangover of epic proportions. Because we're going to Las Vegas! This October, PT Pintcast presents the Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
3 days of learning, networking, and, well, probably some good old-fashioned Las Vegas-style fun. With presentations by APTA President Sharon Dunn, State Chapter Presidents Chris Powers of California, John Hike of Arizona, and RJ Williams from Nevada. With your keynote presentation by Tim Flynn. Focus talks on telehealth, medical marijuana, and motivational interviewing. Okay, just so we're clear, that's three different talks. We're not mixing medical marijuana with telehealth and motivational interviewing. Well, not yet, anyway. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at ptpintcast.com. Want to win your way in? Enter to win free tickets at ptpintcast.com. The Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th. What happens in Vegas? Well, you know how this ends.
Get engaged with your profession. Understanding that is your identity and taking responsibility for that day in and day out. How do you become engaged, participate, grow the profession? Because at the end of the day, that's part of what being a profession means, is that we have a role in society. We have a societal purpose to fulfill, and we're not there yet. We've got a lot of work to do. Each one of us has to take the responsibility for moving it along.
Had a chance to talk with Rayne Osborne and Bill McGeehee while at the Brooks IHL Scholarly Symposium in Florida. With Rayne, we talked about professional engagement and also the role of residency education in your development as a professional clinician. He's a part of the staff there at Brooks IHL, so he's got some unique insights being on the inside of a residency. And Bill McGeehee works over at the University of Florida. Yeah, he's a Gator. Talking about evidence-based practice in older adult care, why it's so important to pay attention to, plus professional advocacy. This is somebody who's had a long career in PT, so pay attention. Episode brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for physical therapists looking for a certification in personalized blood flow restriction, rehabilitation training, and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice, as well as evidence-based practice. Johnny and his team really, really involved in the research behind the implementation of BFR. So take a look at what they have to offer and where they're instructing around the world at OwensRecoveryScience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Still live at the Brooks IHL Scholarly Symposium. Again, I'm not really sure why they asked a person like me to come to something with a cool name like Scholarly Symposium. Brooks IHL down here in Jacksonville, Florida. Check them out online, brooksihl.org. Rayne Osborne joining the show. Rayne, welcome to the program, man.
Thank you very much.
Rayne, what's your role here at Brooks? What do you get to do here at this program?
Yeah, so I'm the director of research here at Brooks, and I get to interact with the residents and other researchers and clinicians. You know, I've been at Brooks for a long time and have had a chance to really, work at different settings throughout the system. So as a clinician at first, and then actually went through the residency and fellowship program, and then I ran the residency and fellowship program for about 6 years before moving over into research. And really trying to blend all of those things together is what I get to do on a daily basis, and I love it.
So I got to ask this, are you just beaming with pride at an event like this? You know, the fourth annual Scholarly Symposium, it's got to start somewhere, and really just a bunch of Brooks products presenting research really well. That's what today's really about, is sharing of scholarly ventures. It's got to make you really, really proud.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I think that's a great way to put it, because when you look at, where we need to go as a profession and really blending this idea of, clinical research and clinical practice together and using the evidence and producing the evidence, this is a generator of that. And, these are the folks that hopefully go out and make a difference, and whether they stay within our system and make a difference or whether they go out to other places and spread that around, this is how we move the profession forward, is by people getting together and having these discussions.
And we heard from the keynote speaker, Dr. Alan Jetty, who is the editor of PTJ, talking about just that, is we have all this great research, and then we look around and we say, well, why has this thing spread? It's been 17 years, which is the statistic often cited, but it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. Places like this and this symposium, when we get everybody together and we say, this is what we know now, and then who's going to be that person that you just mentioned who's going to step up and continue this, but then also, Dr. Jetty pointed out, disseminate it. That's the link. And look at what we're doing. 200 people in a room, disseminating research.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think Dr. Jetty made a really good point, too, about the importance of education in that and really setting it as a norm. And, you know, I think things like this start to create a norm, and has in our system, that this is normal, you know, for the folks around our clinicians, and they're used to seeing this kind of thing. And to be able to start to make that a norm for others and the profession is a really exciting time, I think, that we're in.
Yeah. You're at a unique spot because you can blend three things together. Talk about those three things and why they're important, because I think there wasn't a theme listed, but we started to see a theme of today in terms of research, why it's important and how to get it out. But you live at a really interesting intersection with three parts. Talk about those parts.
So when you look at the IHL and even the symbol of the IHL, it's a Venn diagram of three, you know, interacting rings. So those three rings stand for education, clinical practice, and research. And, you know, in the Venn diagram, the nexus of those things coming together.
I never knew why that was your logo, but I love the fact that you just walked me through that. That's awesome.
Yeah. That was
a brilliant idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Bob. But, you know, we've really been able to bring that together. In fact, that's how I ended up over in the research department at Brooks is, you know, I had gone through the clinical, developing myself as a clinician, became an educator, you know, really enjoyed that and saw the impact I could have there. And the piece that we were really missing was tying in that research and really integrating it well. And so now it's really nice with Bob running the IHL and I'm over in the research department and starting to bring these things together to truly function at that nexus of those interacting pieces is amazing.
Really great. You got to touch all three of those circles in that Venn diagram. Did you think you would when you started your career? Starting in clinical practice, then education, then research, was that thought out or was that happenstance?
It's a really good question. So as it turns out, and I was just reflecting on this the other day, my application for fellowship training, when I had to write an essay, you know, for the application, and in that essay, the focus of it was working at the nexus. That's what I was envisioning myself as, working at the nexus of those three, you know, interacting circles. And so it's been really amazing, you know, how much of it is intentional, how much of it is luck, and, you know, who can say, but I've really found myself at the nexus of those three parts, and that's a fun place to be.
Yeah. That's exciting. How do we apply this to the audience right now if they're listening? Because I think most people leave PT school. Maybe they go to residency or fellowship. Some do. Then they go right to clinical practice. And then some of them stay there. Totally fine. If they're looking to take the jump to the next thing, next one of those areas, whether it be education or research, what's your suggestion on how to set themselves up for success to be a little bit intentional?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. So the first part is I do think as clinicians, even going into clinical practice, we need to change that mindset of, even if you're in, I'm putting air quotes here, just a clinician, which is a great thing to do, you still need to be thinking like a scientist, and that every patient that you see is data that can be used to help grow the profession. And then, you know, you're, as a PT, you're an educator already. Yeah. You're educating your patients. Hopefully you're working with others around you and learning and teaching, you know, each other from that. You know, taking students as a form of being an educator. So I think we all do those three things already. We just don't always recognize it. So I think the intentionality piece of it is, one, is recognizing that, and recognizing that as part of being engaged in your profession. That, you know, students have made a commitment, both financially and time, that they've become physical therapists. And as a physical therapist, that's an identity. It's not just something you do for 8 hours a day and then move on. You're a professional, and that carries with it some responsibilities to society. And so understanding that your responsibility extends beyond those patients that you're seeing, it extends to, how do I help grow the profession? How do I help grow outcomes in order to improve population health? And then from that, I think it just stems the, you know, how can I share this information? I have ideas. I attend conferences and, you know, symposiums like this, and see the conversations that are going on and share that with others. And then those who enjoy doing that and find that impact, can they start getting into, you know, giving some guest lectures at a university? Interacting with students, taking students is a big piece. And then, you know, kind of growing from there.
You can tell that this is your nexus because you literally, I didn't prep that question at all. And you were able to tie that up with a bow really, really easily. And I think it made me think like, wow, yeah, you're right. Educating your peers, educating students, being educated, being open, being educated. We need to be constantly doing that. I think the research component is a good one too. You can be a part of research without working in a lab. You know, you can contribute as well. And we know that payment and the profession is going in an outcomes based direction. So if you're not contributing to it, you should be soon.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the messages we try to work with our clinicians around our system is that, you know, we have a continuum of participation. And at level one, the level of participation is just recognizing that there are studies going on and recognizing that, hey, I have patients who might benefit from this research, which might benefit future patients. And just referring patients to the research program is a level of participation. And then, you know, and then moving on from there.
Last thing we do on the show is called your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
Essentially, we know people tend to have a soapbox, mine is communication and clarity. So the parting shot's your chance to really leave one last sentiment with the audience before we wrap up. So what's your parting shot today?
My parting shot would be get engaged with your profession. Understanding that is your identity and taking responsibility for that day in and day out. How do you become engaged, participate, grow the profession? Because at the end of the day, that's part of what being a profession means is that we have a role in society. We have a society purpose to fulfill, and we're not there yet. We've got a lot of work to do, and each one of us has to take the responsibility for moving it along.
Only way to get there is to do that and do it together. Like Sharon Dunn likes to say, hashtag better together. Rain, appreciate your time out here and doing what you do. Like where you live, and if people want to reach out and find out more information either about Brooks or about all the stuff we talked about, good email address for you, what is it?
It's Rain, R-A-I-N-E dot Osborne, O-S-B-O-R-N-E at Brooks Rehab. That's all one word, B-R-O-O-K-S. rehab.org.
Ray, appreciate your time, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Stand by. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Show's brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing, the single source for PTs wanting to do what you want to do, which is be a physical therapist where you want to do it. They've got positions anywhere in the U.S. All 50 states. Yeah, we get asked this a lot. Alaska, Hawaii, Colorado. You want to do some mountains? You like rivers, lakes, ocean? They got you covered. AureusMedical.com. It's very simple to explain what they do. It's why I love working with them. They find PTs jobs, doing what they want to do, where they want to do it. You put yourself through school, lots of blood, sweat, and tears. Now you decide where you work. Aureus has you covered. AureusMedical.com. No obligation. Just check them out and see what they have to offer. They've been doing this for a couple of decades. AureusMedical.com.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.
Back. Let's get back to the show.
Still live at the Brooks IHL Scholarly Symposium, talking with Bill McGeehee. Bill, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking some time out to talk with us, man.
Thanks, Jimmy. Excited to be here.
What's your background? What's your PT story? What do you get to do in your life?
So currently I'm the program director for the PT program at the University of Florida. Been there about 6 years at UF and the program director, just getting ready to start my fourth year. But became a PT after being an athletic trainer for about 6 years. Been a PT since 1995, and an education for about 20 years, and love every minute of it.
We're timing you right now to see how long it takes you to say go Gators.
Yes, go Gators.
I knew it was coming in there, and he's doing the chomp. Let's see. Wanted to talk about the challenge to the profession to live up to our vision. What does that mean when I say it to you? First, let's start with what's the vision, and then how do we achieve that?
Well, the vision is transforming society by optimizing movement to improve the human experience. A very lofty vision, right? I had the great fortune when I served on the board of directors to chair the task force that helped craft some of that language.
You were part of that.
Yeah. And so I've just been so amazed at how it's everyone's grasped it and taken a hold of it. But it really does challenge us. Transforming society is an improving human experience. That is a big deal, right? And it really requires us to get outside of ourselves and our own little insular lives as a physical therapist. And we've got to collaborate and communicate with the broader healthcare community and the communities in which we live. And that doesn't necessarily mean just the places where we work, but I'm talking about the towns and the cities and our neighborhoods, and advocating for greater access to healthcare, greater access to transportation for people who don't necessarily have that or are impaired in some way and there are barriers. All those things where we can take this knowledge that we have and what we know about how movement affects participation in life, and when people have those barriers, what it does to their quality of life. We need to be in that space. And, you know, we just left the House of Delegates a few weeks ago, and there's always this debate kind of, you know, what should we be saying about health and social issues? Well, we need to be out there. I think we need to look, our voice needs to be heard and the expertise that we bring. And that's what the vision really challenged us to do.
Two things I just heard from when listening to you talk just there. Number one, you said it's a lofty goal in terms of transforming society to optimize the human experience, but we're PTs. We like to set lofty goals.
Well, sure, there's no shortage of that, right? And we are, for the most part, proud of what we do. And we're good at, you know, in our own little world talking about it, but we don't always get out there. And you talked earlier about being better communicators, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I tend to latch onto that just because you look at things through a former ATC lens and a current educator lens and a former House of, you know, a board member and a current House. Like, so we all have these lenses that we look through, and I see it as we talked about at the Oxford debate a week ago, which is it can be a communication lens that we look through. You talked about all the great things that the profession and individual therapists know about, all the things that we can change and affect in terms of mobility and movement. And sometimes, you're right, we do talk about that a lot within our circle. What's the best way to get that out there from your point of view?
I think connecting with people, and I always think it's helpful. I believe you have to have a little dose of humility too, and we're not always sometimes good about that, particularly in our advocacy. And you can be an advocate with a humble attitude. And two other things, I think. One, we need to fess up and realize and be upfront when look, this isn't our role, right? There are people who can do these things better, okay? And then also to say that, look, we need to bring other people in on this because we can't solve it our own self. And that's what I think, and taking seizing opportunities when they come.
Sharon Dunn doesn't say better together just because of our profession. I think she says better together is our profession with everybody else as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Evidence-based practice in PT, it's important in keeping older adults active and healthy. As my other role, working with Fox Rehabilitation, we think not challenging older adults with intensity enough, that's tantamount to malpractice. We got to use that EBP and challenge those older adults.
Yeah, Jimmy, I agree. And I teach our course in geriatric physical therapy, and most of my clinical practice has been in home care and working with older adults, and still have so much to learn. And really have kind of taken that on as a challenge to myself over the next 5 years, is to improve what I know about caring for older adults. But we don't challenge them. And one of the things I say to our students, it's a little phrase I came up with a few years. Look, age is not a contraindication. Right.
Ooh, I like that.
It is not. And we do a disservice to older adults when we see them and we take alternatives off the table just because someone is 70, or we don't dose exercise appropriately because we're afraid. It's no different when you're working with an older adult as when you're working with a 30-year-old. You still establish their baseline. You determine where they are at this point in time, and then you dose your exercises appropriately to push their system, right? Sure, they have more comorbidities. Sure, they have chronic disease. But look, if you don't find out where they are to start and you don't use those principles that you have learned as a physical therapist about dosing exercise in older adults, you are committing malpractice.
Yeah. Yeah. Age is just a number is good, but age is not a contraindication. That's the winner right there.
Yeah, I like it. So you can use it.
I'll use it. I'll borrow that just a little bit. We heard a lot of themes today that sounded similar, like similarities and differences. What is something you took out of the symposium today that either sparked an idea in your head that you hadn't heard of or thought of in a while, or something that kind of resonated that you're starting to hear more and more?
Well, for me, I always enjoy hearing Alan Jeddy talk, right? He pushes the buttons and really challenges us to think differently. And I remember he talked about this in his Facing Into the Storm Macmillan lecture. And that was actually when we were just starting to get into the talk about the new vision. And that really helped us frame some of our discussions on the task force. But his talk about positive deviance, I thought, was really good. And
I'm a name tag. I like positive deviant.
You are certainly a positive deviant. But this idea, and then he talked about the diffusion of innovations and Roger's work. And again, this is a very good reminder of change is hard, right? And you can try to bring people along, but sometimes, look, the train's moving on. You can jump on if you want. Catch up later if you don't.
Talk about those laggards. Like, listen, those people are laggard. They're lagging behind for a reason. Maybe the juice isn't worth the squeeze on getting them on board.
So the other thing that I just resonated with me was Dr. Brown's talk about the three I's and just about behavior and people's approach to not how you get people to do things you don't want them to do. It was a very simple message, but it just really resonated with me.
I like simple messages.
Yeah, just this idea that sometimes it's like really working with children, even when you're working with adults, and how do you motivate someone and get them to buy into it, and how do you get them to do things that are in their best interest, but they don't necessarily want to do.
Bill, I got to ask, so you were in the room really crafting that vision. What's it like? Who's in the room? How does it work? Is there yelling and screaming, a dry erase board, sticky notes, or what's it like?
So there was no kicking and screaming. Some great debate. Look, I was in the right place at the right time, serving on the board, and I really appreciated Scott Ward, who was president at the time, giving me the opportunity to chair that group. But it was a wonderful group of people: Colleen Keegan, Lisa Sladen, Chuck Goulas, Pauline Flesch, Tasha McElveen, Scott Yupi, and we had a wonderful consultant. And then Janet Besner was at that time on APTA staff. And so it was just a wonderful opportunity to think big and to dream. And, you know, the challenge that came from the House in crafting that was we need to go from inwardly facing, which people thought kind of our current vision 2020 was, to now thinking bigger and outside of our profession. So it was a lot of fun. And after that, had an opportunity to serve on the first movement system task force that came out of that identity principle. And oh my gosh, to sit in the room with people like Shirley Sowerman and Chris Powers and Andrew Guccione and Cindy Zadi, wonderful thinkers. And I've just been so lucky.
And I won't ask too much because I know it was a process, but did you guys walk in? Did you walk in with some notes or words or emotions, or is that how'd that process work? Because I'm drawn to creativity, right? Because I love the message now in our vision. So now I'm thinking backwards, like, how do we get there? Like, literally in the room, what did it feel like? And what was your strategy going in?
So our strategy was to hire good people to help us with it. So we had a wonderful consultant. Her name was Marcia Ray, and she describes herself as a futurist and works with a lot of organizations. So she gave us a lot of prompting questions to think, to help us think about stuff that we wouldn't necessarily think about. It's been, 6 years ago, so I've kind of forgotten a lot of details, but that helped us kind of stimulate our thinking about in the future, what's the profession going to need? What does this look like? What are the trends that we see? And then we did some focus group work with two to get people's ideas. And
internal to the profession or external to the profession?
And then external. We also interviewed some folks that external to the profession too about what they thought about the profession of physical therapy. What did physical therapy have to offer in the future? And so it was a cast a wide net of people. So
I like the fact that it was 6 years ago and you're not remembering every detail, because it means that the details that you do remember were the most impactful.
Yeah, like everything I've done with APTA, if I could, I don't know who all listens, but like if there are people who are not APTA members, I got to put a plug in.
Yeah.
Right, because look, I've had so many wonderful experiences and worked with people I've never ever met. if I had not been a member of this profession, the association. So let me just say that. But that was the great thing about it. Just wonderful people coming together to solve a problem and to bring their own unique perspectives, but, you know, checking those at the door sometimes too.
All right, Bill, we have a tradition on the show. Last thing we do on an episode is called The Parting Shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
So if you were to have, you know, everybody has got them. Sometimes we hear them from our professors in PT school is that everybody's got like a soapbox or something they want to leave a mark on as they go out the door. So before we close this one down, what's your parting shot? Something you want to leave with the audience?
Be proud of what you do, all right? Be humble with what you do, but don't be afraid to bring your expertise to the table, but don't do it with a chip on your shoulder.
Leave the chip at home. And we'll close with Go Gators for Florida.
Gators, that's right. Yeah, we're looking forward to a wonderful fall football season. You know, that's life in Gainesville, and it's been fun to be there. I didn't really have a college sports team before I got there, so it's been easy to grab on. And when you live in that town, you got no choice.
Appreciate your time, Bill. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. ptpinecast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast." Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast."
Maybe throw in a please at the end.